Welcome to episode 76 of Musically Challenged, your heaping helping of music, trivia, and pretty much whatever else we want to talk about this week. I'm your host, Chad Knight, and with me as always is Lou Schwalbach.
Good afternoon.
This week, we're going back to the mailbag and let a guest listener be part of the show. Like before, we're going to go over an outside playlist given to us by a listener and give it our well-educated and non-biased opinions on the songs, good or bad. As a reminder, we have chosen not to accept any stipulations such as don't hate on XX band because I like them or don't be mean. We won't be pulling any punches regardless of whoever the guest chooser is, so there will be no favoritism displayed. Just our pure, unadulterated opinions. Potential submitters, don't say you weren't warned.
Welcome to Musically Challenged, your weekly helping of random music conversations based on whatever topic the guys choose. Their goal is to entertain and inform you on a variety of themes. This podcast is an expression of their lifelong love and commitment to music. Simply stated, music is life. This show may include adult themes and language. Once again, welcome to Musically Challenged. Here are your hosts, Chad and Lou.
This week's playlist was brought to us by listener Marshall Law, DJ of the Classic 80s Rewind. Due to his love of the 80s music, and let's be honest, who doesn't love 80s music?
Agreed.
He sent us some picks of with a theme. Not just 80s music, but some of his picks for the cheesiest hits from that decade. Like always, our guest listener playlist begs us to ponder the questions. Will we discover some new artists that we'll have to start listening to, or will it be junk that we can live without? Will we feel our lives enriched and bettered for listening to these, or will we feel cheated and wish that we had that precious time from our lives back? Guess you'll just have to keep on listening to find out. Now, since most of these, if not all of them, we've heard before, it's likely won't be anything new, but who knows, right? So without further ado, let's get this 80s cheese fest started. Now, I'm going to take a moment here, and I just kind of want to talk about my uncle. So my uncle recently passed away, and he was one of my first and biggest influences into music. So my Uncle Eugene, he lived with us when I was a kid, and I remember sitting down in his room listening to 8-tracks.
Okay.
All right, so he was one of these guys, he had 8-tracks. He had, like, walls of the old 8-track holders with the 8-tracks in them and stuff, and he actually gave me my first vinyl album.
Okay.
Black Sabbath's Paranoid.
Good choice.
Yeah, it was a great album. So it's kind of one of those things. I mean, we're all getting older, and so, of course, our aunts and uncles and our parents and everybody else is getting older. But it was kind of, it was a hard one to swallow this time. You know, he's my uncle I'm probably the closest to.
Okay.
He is the uncle that, like I said, he got me into music, especially the classic rock thing. You know, that was his, that was what he liked to listen to. I built a car with him one summer. He got commissioned to build a car for a buddy of his. So we built the car from the frame up minus the body. The body somebody else did.
Okay.
But we did all the internals and all that kind of fun stuff. We used to go fishing all the time. So I guess this is my way of saying goodbye. You know, he...
And hopefully that'll be a good tribute for him.
Yeah, I hope so. So I don't want to linger on it because this is not about that. This is about music. But let's get into the music. So how you been?
Well, actually, I'm glad that the muggy has kind of broken a little bit.
Yeah, and it's supposed to drop a little bit more each to the next consecutive days, which is
supposed to drop to the 80s. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking temperature. I'm talking humidity.
I think, yeah, 50s, like 50% instead of being like that 80%.
Yeah, yesterday. Well, yesterday, which actually felt good for the first time in a while, was still at 80%.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt good. There's something wrong with that.
There was a breeze.
Yeah, that did help. Yeah.
But no, yeah, yesterday was a breath of fresh air, pun intended.
Right.
And, but at least we're not getting the rain that the other parts are getting.
That's true.
Like the flooding up north, the flooding down south. I've got extended family in Iowa that are just getting smashed right now.
Right. And we're not getting the wildfires that they're getting out west and all that kind of fun stuff. So,
I mean, all we really had this year was that one big thunderstorm.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple, like, thunder showers, I would say. But,
right,
like, that big storm was the only one that's really rolled through. And
right. And we are short on water. I mean, I believe there's a burning band.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is what it is. It's summer in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Next week it could start raining and rain for 6 weeks.
Well, you know, and everyone jokes about that, but it's like, the if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a sunburn and a windburn and frostbite in the same day.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I think, and I'm sure you're in agreement with this, that maybe we should drink.
I would agree. I think we should tip this one up to your uncle.
All right, sounds good to me. So, of course, we're doing cheesy 80s music.
Right.
So I thought, what is more 80s than Mountain Dew?
Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And so I picked up Not Your Father's Mountain Ale.
But spelled out, not this MTN crap. Like, actually Mountain Dew spelled out.
So we got this Not Your Father's Mountain Ale. It's 5% alcohol by volume. It's called a citrus brew. They did everything they could to make you think of Mountain Dew without saying it.
Right. So they even got like a 49er on the label.
Yeah, they do. The label. So on the side of the bottle, it's made by a group called Small Town Brewery. It says, let this refreshing citrus brew take you to new heights. Elevate your taste buds with balanced and bright flavors achieved through true craftsmanship. We know you'll enjoy it. We do.
Now, I'm going into this with some trepidation because I've had the root beer, and the root beer was awful.
Yes, I am not a fan of the root beer. I will admit, I have tried this before, but it's been a while. But I remember really enjoying it. So.
All right. Well, we'll give it a run.
All right. Let's do this.
You said there was is it Gene to go by?
Eugene.
Okay. To Eugene.
Eugene. I really like this. It's really good.
I taste. This is. Okay. Let's see. I can taste the alcohol.
Yeah.
And this tastes more like a Mellow Yellow to me, because Mellow Yellow and Mountain Dew definitely have different flavors.
Thank you.
They do. Whoever says that they're the same is full of crap.
There are so many people that do. They're like, I can't tell a difference.
Bullshit. No, yeah. They're lying to your face then. Because no, this tastes more of a Mellow Yellow than Mountain Dew. It's not a bad thing. Just Mellow Yellow seems to go flat more. Faster. That's what I've noticed. But anyways, this is good. I like this. It's... Again, too, it's one that you could probably drink really cold on a hot day, and you could probably get messed up in a hurry because you're not thinking.
Right, yeah.
Kind of like that black cherry stuff we had before.
Right. Except, unlike that, this is not such a high percentage of alcohol.
Right.
It's the same as a normal beer. So if you drink these at the same, you know, same speed you drink regular beer, you're going to be fine.
Right.
So you're going to know your limits. But let's go ahead and...
Most people should know their limits.
Well, they should.
Right. And that might be tested soon. We're not going to say any more, but that might be tested soon. We'll just put it that way.
Anyway, should we rate these?
Sounds good.
All right. I'm going to go thumbs up.
As will I. I enjoyed this. I would definitely drink this one again. I'm glad that I didn't say no because of the past flavor that I didn't care for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you really get burned on something. You don't want to try it again.
And I have to agree with you. I was not a fan of their root beer.
Tasted metallic.
Yeah, it did. They have another flavor out, too, and I can't remember.
They got a cream soda, and the cream soda was not good either.
No, I haven't tried the cream soda. There's a fourth one, and I can't think of what it was, but that one wasn't too bad.
Okay.
But anyway, I suppose this is the point where I get to get something wrong.
You know what? You may not get this wrong. You might. This is actually, it's kind of a two-part answer, so if you get either one of them, I'll allow it.
Okay.
All right. So this is according to VH1.com and Entertainment Weekly.
Okay.
What artist/song is considered the number one-hit wonder of the 1980s?
Oh, my God.
I have a feeling once you hear this, once you hear what the answer is, you're going to slap yourself and be like, well, duh.
Yeah, probably, but I'll have to think on that one. I don't really have an idea right now.
Okay. What I think of, I'll be honest, I have a lot of 80s CDs. I mean, like compilation ones, because that's the best way to get everything you want in the 80s without buying all the shitty CDs.
All the dogs, because there was a lot of dogs on 80s.
And there were a lot of one-hit wonders.
Yep.
This song and artist appears on almost every compilation that I own.
Hmm. Okay.
If that's not going to give you much of a clue, but it's a very popular one.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about our rating system. We haven't done this in a while, so let's go through it. Today, to do something special, we are going to rate by curds on the cheese scale.
Okay. Well, it's a cheesy 80s.
It's a cheesy 80s. So let's go through the curd ratings. So zero. So if you get zero curds, it's absolute shit. Kill it with fire. Turn off the radio. Throw it out your window.
This is going to be like the worst cheese curds at the fair that are just solid grease.
Yeah, these are the ones that not only are they solid grease, but they've sat in the window out from underneath the heat for a while, so they're cold on top of it.
Gross.
Yeah, so 1 to 3 is a hard pass. You know, it's something that it's like...
I'm glad I've heard it. Move along.
Right, yeah. So 4 to 6 is okay. Not great, but not terrible. You're not going to change the station, but you're not going to go looking for it either.
Right.
7 to 9 is pretty good to great. You know?
I'd eat them again.
Do it again, you know, or... Hey, I'd own that CD or, you know, whatever. And then 10 is the Unicorn. Amazeballs. Awesome. Can't live without it. We have not found one of those yet.
I have a feeling we're going to be hard-pressed to find a 10.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before, but...
We've got some 9s.
Yeah.
We've definitely had some 9s.
I've actually got 2 on this list.
Really?
I do.
That's surprising.
And you might be surprised on which ones they are.
Surprise me.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right.
So... Should we go ahead and kick this thing off? You want to start?
I will definitely do so. All right, so I'm going to get one of the shittiest ones out of the way.
Okay.
And that's going to be Heartbeat by Don Johnson. So I was looking up. I found a link. It was on MetalFloss.com. It was an article about 80s TV stars who recorded obscure albums. And, of course, Don Johnson was on there. Scott Baio recorded an album.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that, know that one. But then... You know, it was a title track off a 1986's album of the same name. A lot of actors in the 80s thought they could sing and use their clout to get a record deal out of it. Eddie Murphy, the whole Party All the Time. Bruce Willis with Respect Yourself, which actually wasn't a terrible song. It was not great. It was,
yeah.
It was a Hudson Hawk of a song.
Ah, I see what you did there. And you should never do that again.
Lisa Welchel, who was Blair from Facts of Life, actually did an album.
Really?
Ironically enough, it was like a Christian one because she's like hugely religious. It charted. Yeah. Rick Springfield for Jesse's Girl. He was a doctor on Greatest General Hospital, I think.
Okay.
He did Jesse's Girl, a bunch of other stuff. He's probably one of the more successful ones.
Yeah, I'd say he had a... I didn't realize he was an actor, so...
Yeah, he was on General Hospital before anything else. In fact, I think they bring him back every now and then, like he needs the money. When he's not touring with 80s stuff, you know.
Right.
You know, and as I mentioned here, some of them, like Springfield, had a lot of hits and they kept going. He wasn't a one-hit wonder. Others, like Eddie Murphy and our feature artist this year, went back to acting as they were clearly better than that, than being a recording artist. So back in episode 61, we talked about a different Heartbeat song by the French DJ Jedi. And I mentioned, I hope this isn't a cover of the John Johnson clusterfuck of a song. Now, I realize that was a bit harsh, because this song isn't the worst thing ever. Johnson actually has a decent voice. The song is classic 80s. Why don't we just go ahead and take a quick listen, then we'll come back. Everybody tells. Now, I have to say that anybody could have sung this song and it really wouldn't have made a difference. I mean, really, you give these lyrics to anybody, it would have worked.
Long as they have any ability to sing, it would work.
Right, and the fact that he has a decent voice is okay. The song actually peaked at number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100. It's not a classic by any means, but it's not gutter crap either. It's worth a listen and inclusion on a cheesy 80s list. I'm going to say 5.
Okay.
Maybe.
5 curds?
Yes, 5 curds.
All right. So... My first thought was, is this the Miami Vice Don Johnson?
Yes, it is.
This song really is a sleeper, though. I know it has a beat, but the vocals really hurt it for me. This is a classic actor trying to be a singer. You know, might I bring up Bruno? I mean, Bruce Willis. Can't call him Bruno. I don't know if I would call this cheesy, except from the point of an actor trying to be a musician. Hell, Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time was better.
I don't know if I'd agree with that, but I can't disagree with it, if that makes sense.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't think this can happen, but it has to be better than this.
Yeah.
You know, an actor becoming a singer. I gave it 5 curds on the cheese scale.
All right. So we actually tied our very first one.
Yeah, that's probably the end of that.
Yeah, probably. So what do you got first?
Well, I'm going to kick off with actually one of my favorite songs on the list, and that's Putting on the Ritz by Taco.
Okay.
So it was a song written by Irving Berlin.
That motherfucker did everything.
He did.
I mean, him and what is the Motown guy?
Otis Redding?
Yes. Between him and Otis Redding, I mean, half of music has been written.
Yeah. He wrote it in May of 1927 and first published it on December 2nd, 1929.
That makes sense if you listen to the lyrics.
Yep. So it was registered as an unpublished song August 24th, 1927.
It was registered as unpublished.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense if you think about
it. And then again on July 27th, 1928. It was introduced by Harry Richman and a chorus in the musical film Puttin' on the Ritz, 1930. According to the complete lyrics of Irving Berlin, this was the first song in the film to be sung by an interracial ensemble. The title derives from the slang expression to put on the Ritz, meaning to dress very fashionably. The expression was inspired by the opulent Ritz Hotel. In 1982, singer Taco released a synth-pop cover version of Puttin' on the Ritz as a single from his album After Eight, released on Polydor of Germany. The single was accompanied by a music video. The single was a global hit, reaching number one in the Cashbox as well as number four on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, making Irving Berlin, then 95, the oldest ever living songwriter to have one of his compositions enter the top 10.
Wow.
It was certified gold by the RIAA for selling over 1 million copies. It was Taco's only hit in the U.S. This version of the song was ranked number 53 in VH1's number 100 Greatest One-Hit Wonders of the 80s special. And the Taco cover of the song was used in Baby Geniuses in 1999, The Call 2013, Elvin and the Chipmunks covered Taco's version of the song for Don't Be a Vidiot, a 1984 episode of the Elvin and the Chipmunks show. Let's get the song in your ear holes.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz.
Now this song could as easily be an earworm as a cheesy 80s song.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Of course, I knew this song from both the Mel Brooks movie Young Frankenstein. So when Taco released this and hit the charts, I was probably as happy as any other Young Frankenstein fan. Of course, the amount of blackface used in the video is kind of disturbing. I do, however, enjoy the slightly electronic sung version of the song. Cheesy? Yeah. I give it an 8 curds on the cheese scale.
Okay. Now, Taco made this pop version of the early Irving Berlin song, and it's there, you know. While he wasn't the only one who did it, Fred Astaire is actually the guy who made the song really famous, and that's probably because of the movie. Taco brings a new level of style to it, and it's just a flat-up entertaining song. I don't really care for the Gotta Dance interlude part of it. That just kind of is like, I got nothing better to do, so we're just going to be stupid.
Right, right.
But it's still fun nonetheless. And as you mentioned before, I mean, I cannot even see this title without thinking of Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle.
Yep.
And, you know, just for this, we're going to put this in here just because.
Okay, let's take some time.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
All right, and I actually gave it a 6 curds.
Okay.
Because it's a decent song. I'm not going to turn it away, but it's not a great song by any means.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough. So what do you got next?
All right, next we have We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off by Jermaine Stewart. I know this is one of your favorite songs, so I'll talk about it a little bit. All right, so it's a lead single off of Stewart's 1986 album Frantic Romantic and features Randy Jackson on bass guitar. It's a tale about a guy telling the person he's speaking to calm their tits and slow down. Because she's all hot and heavy, and, well, it's actually not said if it's a she, I think. So, they are all hot and heavy.
The video shows a woman.
Well, of course it does, because that's what it was in the 80s.
Right, right.
Because gay stuff wasn't really big in the 80s.
Right, but you were saying before we started talking that this guy was some sort of gay icon?
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
So, it's pretty much the polar opposite of most guy pop songs, where they're trying their damnedest to get the girl to put out. I mean, it's just what it is. Stewart just doesn't want to, either because he doesn't like girls, or because he just doesn't want to. Now, the song came out during the recognition of the AIDS pandemic and was seemingly his way of trying to raise awareness, not only to the sex, but also other social pressures. Per an interview with Donnie Stewart in 1988, Stewart says, "I think I made a lot of people's minds open up a little. We didn't only want to just talk about clothes, we wanted to extend that. We wanted to use the song as a theme to be able to say, you don't have to do all the negative things that society forces on you. You don't have to drink and drive. You don't have to take drugs early. The girls don't have to get pregnant early. So the close bit was just to get people's attention, which it did, and I'm glad it was a positive message. Now, for the record, I have to say, I like the fact that he said, take drugs early.
I was just going to ask you about that. I'm like, I was just going to be like, time out, take drugs early?
Yeah, so it's better to be a junkie as an adult than as a kid.
Okay.
You know, apparently. So let's just go ahead and take a quick listen to Jermaine. Now, regardless, I have to say message received. It's a decent 80s pop song that has a little bit more of a crossover R&B appeal to it. It's okay, but not great. It's definitely an 80s cheesy song. This one is another six curds for me.
Okay. So when the song started, I had no clue what it was. I didn't know the song or the singer by name. I started listening to the song and still no clue. I really enjoyed the brass in there. The jive music that's going on is pretty cool. And then finally we get to the chorus, and I had that, oh, this
light
song moment.
Bulb.
Yeah, you know this, oh, this song kind of thing. Wasn't a fan of it in the 80s. Not a fan of it now. I really don't have a whole lot to say about this one. It is very 80s cheesy.
Right.
I gave it 3 curds.
Oh, you were a little harsh on it.
I did not, like I said, didn't like it in the 80s. I really don't like it now.
All right, so what do you got next?
So up next, I have Walk the Dinosaur. It's a song by released in 1987 from their 1988 album, What Up, Dog?
Word.
It's just like, you look at the band, and then it's like, What Up, Dog? And I'm like, no. But anyway, the song features a tight, funky sound, punctuated by horns and a cowbell, along with what sounds like cave people chanting in the background. When released in the UK in 1987, the song reached number 10 on the singles chart, becoming the group's first UK top 10 hit. The music video featured 4 scantily clad cave women dancing to the song while a Flintstone-style TV played clips from Daffy Duck and the dinosaur. Modern people danced to the song in the Everybody Kill the Dinosaur part. The video received heavy rotation on MTV. The song reached number 7 on the US charts in 1989, 2 years after the UK success. The song became the band's biggest hit single in their home country. According to an interview with co-writer Randy Jacobs, it was, quote, an infectious sing-along with a Flintstone-esque video that probably got played on MTV way too much. Even that seemingly good time anthem has a dark side. The song's about nuclear Armageddon. It became a dance anthem because of the video. They connected it with the girls in the little Pebbles and Bam Bam outfits. All of a sudden, it became like, do the mashed potato or the twist? Let's jump into the Wayback Machine and listen to this one.
Set the Wayback Machine for $14.92.
Yes, sir, Mr. Peabody.
So this song is about Armageddon. Okay.
That's a bit of a stretch.
But that's what the guy who wrote it said.
Was he on drugs?
Maybe.
It was the 80s.
Maybe he was bombed. So it's just a fun song. It is definitely cheesy, but in that great 80s cheese way. I mean, the keyboard solo is amazing in my opinion. I love the addition of the brass. I give this one 9 curds on the cheese scale.
Oh, wow.
I love this song. I have always loved this song.
This is one of your little... I'm surprised this didn't make your birthday list then. Or because maybe you didn't think about it until now. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, I really like that song.
Yeah, there's some of both of that in that.
Okay. All right, so I have to say, oh my God, are these guys still active? Per Wikipedia, they took a hiatus only and since 2004 are technically still active.
Really?
Yes. This is one of those music trivia songs that a lot of people know the chorus, the boom, boom, akka-laka-laka-boom, but most people don't know the song. Or the artist, because, I mean, was not. Who knows that kind of stuff?
Right. You.
Well, okay, aside from me. I even wrote, far fewer people know who actually did it. Now, it's entertaining in an obscure kind of page in 80s musical history way. I remember this song being used in the train wreck that was the 1993 Super Mario Brothers movie.
They made a movie?
Shut up.
Seriously?
Yes, they made a Super Mario Brothers movie.
Was it live action?
It was with Bob Hoskins, you know, the Roger Rabbit guy.
Yeah.
And John Leguizamo as Luigi.
Okay, I gotta
and
find
Dennis,
this.
I have it. Dennis Hopper is King Koopa. I wish I was making this up. It is the gold standard of turd when it comes to video game movies.
Yeah.
It's in any respect. No, come to find out it was George Clinton's reworking of the song that they put in the movie. So, which is okay. And I'm going to have to rephrase something. This movie was not a dumpster fire, not a train wreck, because train wrecks are entertaining. I'm going to say this is a 5 curd for me.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so I suppose I got to do my next one, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go Just Got Paid by Johnny Kemp. Now, it's a single off of 1987, Secrets of Flying. It was nominated for a Grammy in 1989. I don't know if you've seen that.
This dumpster piece of pile of bullshit?
Just Got Paid was nominated for a Grammy. Obviously, I don't think it won. It peaked at number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot Black Singles and the Hot Dance Club playlist, and peaking at number 10 on the Hot 100 list. It's a simple song. The dude just got paid, he's got a wallet full, and he's trying to get himself all pimped up so he can hit the town and look for a party and possibly some tail. A lot of people did that. A lot of people still do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Instead of talking about the club now, it's Just Got Paid. It's a lot simpler back then. And a lot less expensive, apparently.
Yeah, because I heard, like, buying booze at a club is, like, insane. Like, bottle service is, like, horrid.
No. Well, you know what? If you drink at a concert or a sporting event, and then multiply that, is what the clubs are like. I mean, I'm sorry, it was $5 a beer at Lambeau last time we were there, and that still was enough to make me like, no, I don't want to drink that badly.
It's like, whenever I go to the Woodchucks here in town, I order one beer. I get the oil can of Foster's.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's only $5, too.
Nice.
And that lasts me the whole game.
Doesn't it get warm at the end?
A little bit, but Foster's is okay.
How late do they play? I mean, how late did the season go?
I think until July-ish.
So we're almost at the end.
Yeah, sometime this month.
Okay, I was going to say, because if it starts to be in the fall, I mean, then it would stay cooler, but...
Right.
Anyways, let's just go ahead and take a quick listen to Just Got Paid, and then we'll come back. Now, as we mentioned, the guys out there to, you know, look good and get paid, got paid, look good, get laid, you know, whatever it is, it's respectable. I mean, it's single guys do that kind of stuff.
It's 80s music.
Well, it's not even just 80s. I mean, the idea has been going on
forever.
Not a whole lot to say about this other than it's entertaining. It's kind of a fun groove. They say it's New Jack Swing style. I don't know about all that, but I think it's a decent song and worth listening to when it comes on the 80s station. So this is a 6 for me.
Okay.
6 curds. I'm a little harsher with this week, apparently.
Well, yeah, we'll see. So this is Cheesy Cubed. It makes me think of a...
Cheese Cubes? Did you really seriously just go there?
I wrote that, actually.
That's delightful.
It makes me think of a singer who wants to be like Michael Jackson without the voice or talent. He has all these background dancers, all in sync, and he's nowhere near them. He's, like, trying to do the same things they're doing, and he's got nothing. The music is okay. The vocals are bad. So bad. I just don't know what's going on in this song. This is the worst song on the list, easily. I gave it 2 curds.
Wow.
On the cheese scale. Forgive me, I just...
No, you don't have to apologize. I'm just a little shocked at how low that was.
They don't get any lower, I promise you.
That's good.
All right, so I'm up next, huh?
You are.
Okay, this is a great song. Whip It is a song by American rock band Devo. It is featured on the band's 3rd album, Freedom of Choice. It is a new wave and synth pop song that features a synthesizer, electric guitar, bass guitar, and drums in its instrumentation. The apparently nonsensical lyrics have a common theme revolving around the ability to deal with one's problems by whipping it. Whip It was not expected to be a hit because of its non-standard tempo and strange lyrics. The disc jockey Cal Rudman took an interest in the song, and it was soon being played on several radio stations in the southeastern United States, peaking at number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100. Whip It became a major hit and found chart successes in several countries. An accompanying music video depicts the sexual themes. It features Mother's Bow, which is the lead singer, whipping clothing from a woman on a dude ranch. Despite some claims of misogynistic undertones, the video became popular on the fledgling television channel MTV. In recent years, several journalists have described Whippet as a cornerstone of the development of new wave music in the early 1980s and a unique song that transcended mainstream music. Ready your sound sockets for this one.
Didn't the video also have, like, a cross-eyed Indian chick?
Yes.
That was, like, trying to shoot at something?
And it was double vision. Yeah, because I just watched it the other day again, and it was hilarious. But what can really be said about this song?
That hasn't already been said.
Right. The guys of Devo show up at a dude ranch and do some crazy shit. Now, I'm not a huge New Age music guy, but for some reason, this song has always been in my higher level of 80 songs that I could just listen to about at any time. So, cheesy really isn't a question for the song. It is cheesy. And I gave it 8 curds on the cheese scale.
All right. Now, this fast-moving hit is a totally classic 80s song. Like, totally.
Yeah, totally.
The song's been linked to possibly S&M and also possibly Whacking Off.
Whacking Off?
Yeah, Whacking Off.
Like, whipping it?
Exactly. But that's been debunked by one of the writers, Gerald Jerry Casale. If that's how you pronounce it, stating, we let them think that. We didn't want to ruin it and tell them the truth because then they just wouldn't get off on the truth.
Nice. I see what he did there, and I approve.
Exactly. Now, fair enough. You know, people will read anything into anything, and if it lets it sell and it's more interesting, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, some fiction is more entertaining than the truth sometimes.
Usually.
I love this song, and this is actually a runner-up in the top 3 of this playlist.
Ooh.
7.
7. Okay. So we're almost the same on that one.
Close, yes.
Yeah. All right, so what do you got next, man?
Number 7 is next, and we've got Words by Missing Persons. Words.
Just words.
Words. It's a single off of their...
Are they not the most fucked up looking band ever, though?
Yeah. They're not pretty. They've got faces for radio.
Yeah, unfortunately, they put them on TV.
So it came off their Missing Persons debut album, 1982's Spring Session M. It, along with Destination Unknown, both peaked at one time at number 42 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart. The song is a synth-pop rock song that's new wave all the way. Features a message that is often recurring in songs or media. Why talk if no one is listening? I mean, it's a legit thought, and my first thought is the Rod Stewart song Young Turks when he said, there ain't no point in talking when there's nobody listening, so we just ran away. I love that song, by the way. In any respect, the song is unique with all its high-pitched singing and synth sound. It's truly the epitome of the 1980s new wave. There really is. I have to say the title threw me for a second. I'm like, I know this. I know this. And I'm just like, I couldn't put the music to the title. And as soon as it kicked in, I'm like, oh, there it is.
Ah, there. Yeah, fine.
Kind of like you with the we don't have to take the clothes off. Right.
It's like it hit the chorus and I was like, ah.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick listen, then we'll finish up. So, as I mentioned before, when I read the lyrics, I knew exactly which song this was. I mean, there was no question in my mind. They claim that they've hit it with a couple songs, but they are really a one-hit wonder, because really nobody else knows their other stuff. In my opinion, it was a decent hit, so we're going to give that to Missing Persons. Solid 6.
Okay.
6 curds.
This is a song about people talking and nobody listening.
Wait, were you talking?
The song is very 80s, with the new wave feel. It's cheesy because... Well, it's just fucking cheesy. I do find the music to be catchy, as a lot of the new wave stuff is. And the synth in the music is actually nice in this one.
It's not grating.
Yeah, sometimes it can get very grating, and it wasn't in this one. Now, I wouldn't call this anything special, but it's better than some of the other stuff on here. I also gave it 6 curds.
Very nice. So what do you got for number 8?
Up next, I got Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell. So, it's a song recorded by American singer Rockwell, released by the Motown label on January 14th, 1984, as a lead single from his debut studio album of the same name. Rockwell's debut single release, the song features guest vocals by brothers Michael Jackson in the chorus, and Jermaine Jackson on additional backing vocals. And when I read that before I listened to the song, and then I heard the chorus going, I'm like, oh fuck, that's Michael.
You didn't notice that before?
No, it never crossed my mind. Because I don't, you don't think about it that way.
Well, I can understand that, but it's one of those things where if you hear it, you're just like, that sounds, maybe I do that, but it's like, that voice sounds familiar, and like, oh yeah. Kind of like the whole Sting singing on Money for Nothing.
Right.
You know, that was one that I got into an argument with somebody. I'm like, that is Sting. No, it's not. Like, bullshit, it's not. Look it up.
Steve Borden sang on...
Nice. Wrong Sting.
Oh, my bad.
We're called, what is it, Gordon something or other?
What's that? Oh, Gordon, yeah, Gordon...
Schlumway or something.
Yeah, it's a really
like
messed up name. I'd go by Sting, too.
Captain Tantric, whatever.
But anyway, so let us invade your tone tunnels with this one. All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone? And I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Tell me, is it just a dream?
You really went out there with all those, didn't you?
I was trying this time.
Are you saying you don't try other times?
Maybe.
You don't give me your best.
Maybe. I give you at least 38%. How much do you want?
It's at least 62.
Oh, Jesus. You want to double my efforts?
It's better than half.
You're right. 62 is more than 50. So I'm going to be right up front with this one. It's not what I'd call cheesy. It's also not a great song. It's just run-of-the-mill 80s. There's nothing special in the music or the vocals that makes me draw... that gets me drawn into this song at all. It gets 3 curds on this cheese scale. It's a stinker. I'm going to call it 3 Limburger cheese curds.
Oh, wow. That's harsh. So my first thought was, I have no idea how this schlub rates to get Jermaine Jackson and the king of pop, Michael Jackson, to sing back.
I can answer that.
They were friends as kids.
That and the head of Motown is his father, is Rockwell's father.
Of course it is. So, they were childhood friends, so it was kind of a nice thing for Michael Jackson to do, and it wasn't as if Jermaine had anything else going on. You
all right? I almost spit my beer out.
So, we fast forward, and Jermaine's a footnote. Rockwell's a one-hit wonder that may or may not have made it without Michael Jackson's help. And Jackson was a huge international star. I guess it happens. The song is decent. It's a good song about paranoia, and actually makes a lot of Halloween playlists. Rockwell's voice is okay when he's not trying to sound like a weirdo. Because with his little, like, not even a, oh God, like a tremolo-styled voice.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, just sing, all right? Just, I don't care, you're being a dork, and it's annoying.
Did you watch the video of
I've
this one?
I've seen that before.
Yeah, it is.
And then there's, like, where he's in the middle of, like, the stretch-out condoms, and everybody's, like, trying to get to him or whatever. I mean, that house is badass.
Yeah.
I would totally live there.
I had a laugh. At one point, he's in the shower, taking a shower, you know?
That could have been edited out.
And they're, like, panning down on him from above, and you can see he's wearing boxer shorts.
Of course. This was a
Which is better than not wearing boxer shorts.
Yes, yes. This was a 5 for me, so it really was no great thing.
Right.
It's worth a listen, and if you haven't heard it, check it out. Definitely check out the video. But, and yes, listen for Michael Jackson, because you will definitely recognize that voice.
Yes, absolutely. So what's your last one for today?
My last one for today is Tarzan Boy by Baltimora. Now, Tarzan Boy is the lead single off of Baltimora's 1985 album Living in the Background, and it peaked at number 13 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in the U.S. and topped the charts in multiple European countries, but surprisingly not in their home country of Italy, where it peaked at number 6.
Okay.
The song
obviously, people in Italy knew more than we did.
Apparently so. Now, the song lyrically is really just about living in the jungle with no responsibilities and doing whatever the fuck you want. Simple. Easy. It's a fun song, just as entertaining to listen to, and is my favorite song on my part of the playlist, so my 5 that I did. It's in the top 3 of the whole playlist, and it should be noted that Tarzan Boy was used in a lot of other medias as well, including appearing in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 Turtles in Time movie. As well as where I remembered it more clearly was the Cool Mint Listerine commercial.
Yep.
And here's a neat little piece of trivia. The animation for that commercial was done by Pixar.
Really?
Yeah. So the Cool Rush went along with being Tarzan Boy, apparently.
I guess. Let's go
ahead and take a Cool Rush and listen. I don't really have a lot else to say about it. I mean, it was a 7 for me. I enjoyed the song. It, like I said, it's my favorite of all of the 5 that I did, and just a good song.
I know your favorite song on the list is the last one I'm doing.
So. Well, yeah, but I mean, no, it's a good song.
So, that very recognizable intro.
Uh-huh.
You know, that followed by the Tarzan yell. Who doesn't know the song and how cheesy it is? I mean, it's just, it's part of the
And then the little monkey thing that's in the background every now and then?
The song is cheesy, but you add in the music video and it's so cheesy that it's running off the plate. However, we rate the music and not the level of cheesiness.
Or the video.
Or the video. I gave this 7 curds.
All right, another match.
Yep.
I'm asking you, what is your last one, even though I already know?
Right, right.
So go ahead.
So, The Safety Dance is a song by Canadian new wave synth pop band Men Without Hats, released in Canada in 1983 as the second single from Rhythm of Youth. The writer/lead singer Ivan Doroshuk has explained that The Safety Dance is a protest against bouncers stopping dancers pogoing to 1980s new wave music in clubs. New wave dancing, especially pogoing, was different from disco dancing, because it was done individually instead of with partners and involved holding the torso rigid and thrashing about. To uninformed bystanders, this could look dangerous, especially if pogoers accidentally bounce into one another. The more deliberately violent evolution of pogoing is...
mosh?
Slam dancing.
Well,
same thing. The bouncers did not like pogoing, so they would tell pogoers to stop or be kicked out of the club. Thus, the song is a protest and call for freedom of expression. So let's jump on the Melody Highway.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine.
Let's get right on this one. Video, cheesy. The song, less cheesy. Of course, this is only my opinion. I love this song. It's one of the songs that could just make you want to dance, which for me means to, you know, kind of bounce around and jive in my seat. You know.
Twitch and jiggle for me.
Yeah, well, I gave this 9 curds.
Wow. This is, hands down, if not one of the favorite songs of the 80s for me, which is why it made it on my birthday list a few months ago.
Yep.
It's a good song. It's just as much fun to listen to as it was in 1983 when it was first released. Now, I know I first gave it a 6 on my last episode, but I've had some time to think about it, and I think I undercut it just a bit.
Okay.
Just a skosh. A skosh.
Yeah, that's a unit of measurement that means just a little bit.
Right. just a tidbit, right?
Yeah.
This song is number 1 on my top 3 playlist that I mentioned before. This is a solid 7 for me.
Okay.
So, we've got our 10 done.
Yep.
And are you going to go through and see the differences, or?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right.
You refresh everybody on the
trivia.
The trivia question that I'm going to get wrong, because I am still drawing a blank.
Well, you know, here's, I'm feeling generous today. I'm going to give you 3 guesses.
Oh, lucky me.
Well, if you get 1 out of 3, then you're in good shape. All right, so the question was, according to VH1.com and Entertainment Weekly, what song/artist is considered to be the number 1 one-hit wonder of the 1980s?
You're right. I'm going to probably kick myself when I find out. But I have no guess. I really don't. I just can't.
Okay, it's not on this list, so there's
well, that.
Well,
that's helpful, I guess.
So think of, like, one-hit wonders 80s songs, man. I mean...
I know, but that it's like there's so much running through my head that it all kind of...
So throw a couple out there. It's better than not guessing at all. I mean, honestly, they told you that when you were in school. If you take a test, at least guess. You might even get it right.
I'm just drawing blank. I can't come up with shit.
It's not Der Kommissar, by the way.
Okay.
Because that's an entertaining one-hit wonder as well.
Constantinople.
That is a good song, but no.
I don't know. I give up.
All right. Dexy's Midnight Runners. Come on, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. Really? Okay.
That is considered the number 1 one-hit wonder of the 1980s. And really, since they've done nothing else, I can buy that.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, so our ratings. So we agreed on Heartbeat by Don Johnson.
No, by agree, you mean like you were even. Like
right, we had the same guess at 5.
Okay.
We agreed on Words by Missing Persons at 6. And we agreed on Tarzan Boy by Baltimora at 7. Now, the two songs that we disagreed the most on, and that there was a difference of four, was Just Got Paid by Johnny Kemp and Walk the Dinosaur by Was Not Was.
Okay.
Okay, listen up, everybody. Turn up your volumes. Announcement.
So, if you guys like what we did here, or like any of our other episodes, you can go ahead and drop us a line. There's a couple ways you can do that. On email, you can reach us at musicchallengepodcast@gmail.com or at eclecticmediaproject@gmail.com. If you're more into the social media thing, we got a couple ways for you to do that as well. You can find us on Facebook at Musically Challenged Podcast or at POI Network. And, of course, our final way
is Twitter, and that's if you wanted to get in touch with us but just couldn't pull the trigger, just didn't know how to do so.
You only have 160
characters. You've got limited, but that is more than enough to get in touch with us and tell us when you're at MCPodcast17. You can find out we do release the episodes on there. If we might start throwing polls out there if people actually look. If you want to give us a playlist, 10 different songs by 10 different artists. If you have a theme, great. If you don't, that's fine too.
Join us. Friend us or follow us on Twitter, and we'll follow you back.
Absolutely.
So, with that, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You have been listening to a program from the Point of Insanity Network. Visit us at poigamestudio.podbean.com for more shows. Follow us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at POI Game Studio.